Increasing water efficiency in new and redesigned landscapes was a primary goal of the new regulations, which were finalized last fall. In several places, the criteria for which plants to incorporate emphasize using local or native species. And that's a good thing, says Doug Johnson, executive director of the California Invasive Plant Council.
Native species are used to growing here just fine without additional fertilizer or irrigation. So those can make good landscaping alternatives, but plenty of non-native plants are great for landscaping. And it's only a few that are invasive, that actually can escape from cultivation and grow in the wild. And unfortunately, some of the characteristics that make a plant invasive and able to grow on its own do overlap with some of the characteristics we look for in water-efficient landscaping.
The Council's Don't Plant a Pest awareness campaign has tried to focus attention on some of the most troublesome species. And Johnson says there aren't a lot of them.
The Don't Plant a Pest brochures take the approach of pointing out the handful, maybe a dozen plants that are still sold that are problematic, and pointing out here are five alternatives that will fulfill a similar landscaping function. So I think there's a lot of progress being made just in terms of the general awareness of this issue.
And just what is an invasive species?
An ecological definition of invasive is a non-native plant that spreads in a given area. And by non-native, it typically means it's been brought here from another continent by humans. However, the legal definition is a plant that does that and has a negative impact. So the federal definition includes impact to the economy, to the environment, or to human health.
But new invaders are also constantly coming onto the scene, which concerns Sherry Althaus, co-owner of the California Flora Nursery in Fulton.
There's new invasive plants every day, and it takes a while to identify them and then realize you've got a problem. But there's always a new introduction of plants that could possibly, potentially, be invasive.
And she says it's not easy to recognize a new problem plant when it first shows up.
I can remember a plant, it's called Mexican feathergrass. It was a beautiful thing, emerald green blades and these beautiful blonde heads. And I should have known because it made copious amounts of seed, but it was grown for a few years before people started seeing it actually making a living on its own in wild areas. Sometimes it takes a little while to figure it out, to know that you've got a weedy species on your hands.
The language of the new landscaping ordinance says using known invasives is to be strongly discouraged. But Doug Johnson worries that isn't strong enough.
In building code, you can't just say we strongly discourage. It needs to be you can or you can't. So I think there will be a process to figure out perhaps a tiered approach.
Even then, he says, actually getting the new regulation enforced may be tricky as well.
Understandably, building inspectors are hesitant to take on additional requirements, and certainly when it comes to making sure that people aren't landscaping with invasive plants, they aren't botanists, and so they balk at having that additional responsibility put on their plate without additional resources.
Further complicating the issue, the landscaping ordinance is administered by the State Department of Water Resources, while the Department of Food and Agriculture maintains the state's list of banned or restricted plants. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.